This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
There's more to my tears than meets the eye. He was the one that said goodbye. But I won't waste my tears on a man who makes me cry. That's why I put my hand upon your thigh. I could get over him if I could get under you. He played around, let me down, and now
This is KPFT Houston.
We don't know where it started or how we got this far. And some of us don't have a clue exactly where we are. With all the pushing and the shoving just to be the one in front. Some play fair, some don't care. Others pointing, judge, oh, and everybody's running like there's no time to waste. We all find out the hard way that we can't keep up this pace. Some fall with spirits broken, others bow to one day finish. But most of us are looking just a place in this human race. Seen the track get torn to pieces by those who think they're faster and see themselves as great. Some have been held back by stronger, while others use the weak. And some are just too far gone to save. Oh, and everybody's running. Some try to cheat their fate. And some of us are leading, and some are led astray. got higher powers, but most of us just try to keep the faith in this human race. Yeah, most of us are trying to find our way.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours. Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world, and welcome to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm Jimmy Carper. I'll be your co-executive producer for the evening. Chris Arison is on vacation tonight, but standing in for someone who's kind of in between Chris and me is Jim Crawford.
What were you implying? Good evening, everybody. What were you implying?
You're a little bit me.
Size matters.
You're a little bit me, and you're a little bit Chris.
That's true. But I'm all a whole lot of loving.
Yes.
Anyway.
Well, this
how
is
are you?
Fabulous.
Thank you.
Hi.
Well, hey, and so how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great.
Well, good.
I've had a wonderful, wonderful evening.
Oh, me too.
Yes. You look so much different than when I saw you earlier.
Yes, and I feel so much better.
Yes.
I feel free. I'm not constricted like I was earlier.
We attended the ICOH PNP ball tonight, the Prince and Princess, and honoring Crown Prince Royal Dennis Watson,
mm-hmm.
Crown Princess Royal Judy Reeves. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. I was all in pink and white and silver. Actually, pink and platinum with the white jacket.
That vest was wonderful. I have to admit, I would love to have a gown in that material.
Really?
Oh, that would be flawless. That's silver?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you were... Well, you weren't not in attendance.
No, I was not.
But Tippi Belmont, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera,
was. Yes, yes, and my sister was.
Yeah, and Tippi was...
Was the life of the party.
Yes, she was. Yes, she was.
Because if not, there wasn't any... Well, no. I was going to say, that there wasn't any life to the party, but boy, there was some drama.
Yeah. Oh, there's always drama. This is ICOH. When we get finished with announcements here, we're going to talk about what happened at the very end of P&P.
Yes, what a stunning night.
What it really was. Mm-hmm. It really was. Ah, but there's a lot of stuff going on in the community. First, I want to tell you about a little bit about a piece of music that you heard right at the beginning of the show. If I can put my hands on it, here it is. It's not new music, but it's new music to After Hours. It's an artist by the name of Nick Granato, and from his CD Outside the Lines. The name of that was In This Human Race, and it was just talking about how all our differences don't really matter, because we are all people.
Yes, we are. Yes.
No matter what. Yeah.
Exactly.
He's a wonderful artist. A lot of good songs on this CD, and it talks about equality for all people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I like.
Yes.
Nice message, and...
Yes.
And it had a good beat.
It did. I was really impressed with that.
Yeah.
Because I haven't heard that before. I thought, that's a nice song.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And it's also, we have to do some pitching tonight.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, because this is our summer fun fest.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for some money,
exactly.
Of course. And that tells me that when people call in to make pledges, that people are supporting the show. They think it's worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
They think it should still be on the air after 20 years.
Yes.
Actually, coming up in September 6th, which is not too far away.
No, it's not.
That will be our 21st birthday.
Wow.
Yeah, so After Hours will be legal this year.
Oh, my God. Jeez. Well, you know what? You know what? You know, speaking as it being the summer fundraiser, I have to let you know that every time I go out, I see a multitude of cars with bumper stickers from 90.1.
Have you noticed that? A lot of them.
And it would be so nice if those people who are, supporting it that way could also maybe lend a hand by supporting, the funds that's necessary to keep this radio station alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a buck here or there from those cars, you probably have your budget boom.
Well, a lot of those cars got those bumper stickers because they did pledge.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, good.
If you make a pledge, you get a bumper sticker.
Wow.
Yes. Yes.
There. Mm-hmm. So those of you who pledged and have a bumper sticker, pledge again and get a new one to replace the one that you have.
And if you just got it for free, oh, come on, give us some bucks.
Exactly. Well, now, how can they give us some money? What can they do?
All they have to do is pick up their phone and dial or punch in.
Exactly.
Nobody dials anymore.
No.
Punch in 713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT.
Oh, wow. Well, that's a nice little way
cool?
to plug that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. And I've got some, for a $50 pledge on plastic, I've got some fabulous CDs that Lisa left with us.
I see
oh,
those.
My God. This is heavenola. I'm telling you, Casey Jones Live and Casey Jones Big Ass Box of Music. Some of the, you want these just because of the song titles, like, How Do You Like These Babies Now?
Over easy. I'm sorry.
Never wear panties to a party.
Well, that's true. That's true.
That's the
especially
name of the song.
For Louis.
Yeah.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah. You're not on yet. He's not on yet. Okay. Show up naked, bring beer. Now, that's a song that you just...
That just sounds sexy.
I know. You just want to hear that.
Jimmy, you're going to play that song, right? You're going to play that later, Ronnie. Me too.
And here's one that's particular to all people. It's called We All Need to Get Laid. Well, ain't that the truth?
Well, oh, wow.
I know. I love
it. Come naked and bring beer.
This is fabulous. Just... How about I'm down to my Christmas underwear? That's sad. We've all been there. We have all been there.
You know what?
There.
And, you know, if you go camo on the weekends, your underwear lasts a little bit longer. I've noticed that.
Have you noticed that?
I really have. I have to do less of my whities.
I see that.
But you know, but I have to admit, since we're here, we're plugging this wonderful radio station. We do have people standing by to take your pledges. Please, by all means, call us. Jimmy, what's that number again? You were so good at giving that number.
713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT.
Enough said. That's wonderful. Yes,
isn't that
exactly
fabulous? It now,
is.
The phone should start ringing. And so, our listeners are so good that so many times we just open up the mics and say, okay, it's pledge drive, and give out the number a couple of times. People call in, and we can go on with the show.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to come back and say, oh, okay, the phones aren't ringing. You know, we've got to beg. And so, 713-526-5738. Now, later on today, because it is officially Sunday.
Yes.
Sunday. Get hot or get out. And if you recognize that phrase, you know it comes from the BRB. The famous BRB, because Don Dowden and Robert Harwood proudly present the 8th annual Daddy Don Dowden's Dynamic Dog Days of Summer Extravaganza. Yes, that's happening Sunday, August the 17th, with a lineup of incredible talent and twisted humor. 7 p.m., 2400 Brazos. And, of course, that's benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities.
Oh, wow.
Wonderful organization.
Yeah, very,
absolutely
very
fabulous.
Yes.
Oh, some other things coming on in no particular order. Decadent Dessert and More is happening October 12th at South Beach.
Ooh.
Oh, I know. And this is a benefit for sisters. And they have invited a comedian entertainer, Vicky Shaw, to the fall fundraising event to entertain you. Once she opens her mouth, you'll know she was born and raised in Texas, and you'll never stop laughing. Check her out, VickyShaw.com. You do not want to miss this. The tickets are $30 in advance and $30 at the door. And we welcome back our longtime restaurant and catering supporters, mm-hmm. Carter and Cooley, Jim mm-hmm. Benton Catering, Amanda's Bake Shop, the Rainbow Lodge Restaurant, the Acadian Bakery, Cafe Adobe, and that's just a few.
Wow.
I mean, you stuff yourself with food and dessert until you just can't stand it.
Oh.
And then have wonderful entertainment, and it's benefiting Assisters, a wonderful organization that helps out lesbians in need.
That's the food alone.
Yeah.
The food alone is worth that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Jimmy, while you're looking through your plethora
advertising. I handed you all of the ICOH and the ERISA's things going on. So why don't you go through a couple of these?
Yeah, we'll just go through a couple of these. Well, first of all, we're going to remind everyone that Fridays in August, the King of Kings contest, hosted by Chris Volk and Melissa Flores, which we saw Melissa this evening.
Oh, yes, and that show is fabulous because I went to the first one.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
I've never been.
Yes, they had three contestants. They were great.
Wow. And that's on Fridays at 11 p.m. at Chances.
Mm-hmm.
And Chances is right here on Westheimer, right where that curve comes around. You must go see it. If Jimmy says it's good, it's good.
It's good.
Then I also have another one from ERISA's.
Mm-hmm.
It's a group thing.
Ooh.
Production show number 3, August the 24th at 7 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. Which I just came from.
Did you now?
Yes. Oh, Jimmy, we'll have to talk about that later.
Okay.
Oh, there is one. Oh, well, I got kind of flustered there for a second.
I see.
Back to these wonderful advertisements.
Yes.
Okay. We have another one from Imperial Prince Falcon doing When Pigs Fly.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Oh, and that's going to be on Friday, the August 29th. At 8:30 p.m. at George Bar,
mm-hmm.
617 Fairview, Houston, Texas. Wow. Oh, there, I mean, there's a... You know what? Since this is a fun drive and we're going through all these wonderful charity events, wouldn't it be nice if some of these organizations called in at 713-526-5738 and donated to this this organization?
That would be.
Okay. This is something... Okay. Well, I have a... what do you have over there?
Well, it's part of your stuff, the Arisa's group. Presents DJ's Revenge, hosted by Imperial Prince Royale 24 Susan Hayes, on Friday, August the 22nd, 8:30 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. Then the next night, Bob Skinner's birthday show.
Wow.
Hosted by Emperor 24 Bob Skinner. That's Saturday, August the 23rd, 8:30 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. So both nights, Tony's Corner Pocket, just show up at 8:30. Fabulous.
There you go. Yeah. Well, and you know what? All these announcements that we're making, these are nonprofit organizations raising money for charity. Mm-hmm. So please, feel free, step out to these clubs and help support that organization who is supporting an agency that is losing its federal funding. And speaking of, we have the Puppy Pound, a pre-dog days party, hosted by Grand Duke 24, J.P. Gill, a very nice person.
Yes, he is.
On August the 17th, which is a Sunday from 11 to 4, at George Country Sports Bar. And this is not a performing show, just a get-together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to benefit, Legacy Community Health Services, and assisters through Coronation 25.
Okay. Now, on the leather side, I know you've got some more things.
Oh, sure.
Okay. But on the leather side, next Friday night, Friday, August the 22nd, is the Boy of Montrose contest.
Already.
It just kind of popped up. It's that time again. So, 10 p.m. at the Ripcord. Next Friday night, the Boy of Montrose is a community title based in the leather community and directly benefits the PWA Holiday Charities Working Fund. The winner is required to host a minimum of 3 fundraisers during their title year. Requirements for entry, if you want to be a Boy of Montrose, you must be at least 21 years old. You must fill out a registration form and present it at the contest. You must be a resident of Harris or surrounding counties, which means if your zip code starts with 77, you are eligible to be the Boy of Montrose. And you cannot hold any other community title.
Okay.
Well, because you're going to be busy.
Yes, very, very, very true.
And the contest is broken into 3 parts: presentation, introduction of the contestant to the judges, then fantasy. The contestant will describe their fantasy.
Ooh.
Mm. And question and answer. Two questions.
What? Two?
Two questions.
Wow.
Applications can be picked up at the Ripcord or Black Hawk Leather beginning today.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So, that goes on. And also at the Ripcord, the first Friday of the month is Leather Night on the patio.
Ooh.
And let's see, bartending on the patio. We've got NLA is the first Saturday. The Fire Dancers bartend the second Saturday. And the Misfits bartend the third Saturday.
Ooh.
So all the tips there go to charity. And the Houston Big Men's Club serves burgers on the first and third Saturdays.
Oh, and they are delicious.
Are they good?
Oh, my God.
So there's lots of stuff going on at the Rip.
Now, do you think I could run for Boy of Montrose? No?
No.
And the reason? And we'll talk about that later.
Yes, we will.
Well, I had this wonderful poster in front of me from Southern Country, Houston.
Yeah.
Calling all artists, we are pleased to announce our first ever art auction, Art for the Children, benefiting Camp Hope.
Oh, that's great.
It's wonderful. The rules for submitting are simple, they say. First and foremost, it must be kid appropriate. Okay.
Okay.
Not, Second, please provide short write-up on the work and artist. This legacy document will be given to the new owner of the art. Third, the work needs to be submitted no later than September 1st, 2008. It will be photographed and placed for display on the website so potential bidders can view.
Oh, good idea.
That's so nice.
Isn't that nice? And it's a different type of fundraiser.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. And they give it like a little bio for Camp Hope. And this radio station has talked about Camp Hope for years. And it's such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to get some beautiful art and help support the camp who, you know, for children ages 7 to 15 with HIV/AIDS in Texas, they get to go to camp for a week.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That is so wonderful. Good luck, Southern Country. Wow. I'm going to look for that on the website.
You bet. You bet. Then, in memory of the pile of debris, we present The Debris Debacle 5. That's happening Sunday, August the 31st, 5-ish, at EJ's. That's benefiting the PWA Campout, which is happening September the 19th through the 21st, September the 21st.
Wow.
Yeah. 19th through the 21st. Mm-hmm. And it ain't going to be pretty.
And never is.
Yes. Oh, a 50-50 raffle.
Mm-hmm.
And good eats provided by Cajun Montana.
Cajun Montana?
I think that's what it says. A.K.A. Garbagia Debris. And I'll be there because I am Trashy Pinky Debris, or TP for short.
Well, you know, my sister Tippy is not a debris, but that's okay.
You're kidding.
No.
But she's not trashy enough?
No, she's not. She's class.
Oh.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, here I have, ICOH this evening, like Jimmy mentioned before, did their Crown Princess Royale.
Mm-hmm.
Erisa is having their Imperial Prince and Princess Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
September 12th, 13th, and 14th. This is a special emphasis on Saturday night, and this is an annual event, they are saying. Mm-hmm. We invite all the boys to walk in the girls' shoes for a change. Oh, it's turnabout. The 13th. Wow. This event always raises big money. Many of the local girls will be on hand to help those boys paint up and look fabuloso.
Mm-hmm.
That is wonderful.
Yeah, that is. That
wow.
Is.
And Friday night, they're doing highway robbery costume party.
Hmm.
And Saturday is the Cuban pool party. And Sunday night is the gold rush. Wow. And a lot of this is, Marsha Mink, Ann Gill.
Ooh.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, she's the one that sent this wonderful email. We mm-hmm. love her. I love Marsha.
Yes.
Marsha. She's a sweetheart.
She is. And talented.
Yes, she is.
Quite talented. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the Sundance Cattle Company is doing a fundraiser for the month. It's their Sunday food sale.
Wow.
Join us Sundays through September the 14th. Oh. Yeah, through September the 14th, 5 to 8 at George. However, today, they're doing it at Mary's.
Okay.
Something's happening at George. They can't do it there, so they're doing it at Mary's mm-hmm. today.
Mm-hmm.
Today. They'll be serving breakfast and lunch at Mary's. From open till about 4 p.m.
Wow.
For breakfast, tacos will be on sale. Lunch will feature chopped barbecue sandwiches with the fixins. The beneficiary will still be the PWA LVL campouts.
Oh, good.
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 Yeah. So, that today it's Mary's, and the next several Sundays it's at George from 5 to 8. But at Mary's, it's happening from noon to 4.
Okay.
Got it?
Got that.
That is a little confusing. But.
Okay. And this is the last thing from Eresis. It says, ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pleasure that on behalf of my Empress, Kimberly Ann O'Neill, the Board of Directors, and the General Membership of the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star of Houston / Galveston, we invite one and all to Coronation 25. Ooh, high school reunion, a night amongst the pyramids. What a nice theme.
Yeah.
January 15th through the 18th, 2009 in Houston, Texas. And the reason why they're advertising it now, because it gets busy and full. I mean, they do a wonderful event. Houston is well known for its Texas-sized hospitality, and this year will be no exception as it's their 25th anniversary celebration. There will be much to do while in Houston. And they go on to talk about the hotels. That's a Sheraton Houston in Brook Hollow. It's located off of 290 and the Loop of 610. Mm-hmm. And then you can call them to get the room rates in mentioning Eresis. You can call the 1-888-627-8196 and be sure to mention our group, Imperial Quarter of Houston, to get these great rates. It's a lot of fun.
Eresis.
Yes.
That's Eresis.
That's what I said.
Mention Eresis. If you mention ICOH, you won't get the rate.
It says the Imperial Court of Houston. See? I'm reading what it said.
Well, that's bizarre.
I'm reading what it says, people. I am sorry. Well, what a great transition to...
I guess we're friends again.
Okay. There we go. Kumbaya, my lord. Anyway, speaking of the Imperial Court of Houston...
Yes, we have. Well, at the end of the PNP ball that we attended tonight...
Yes.
There is a big, big, big announcement. Because ICOH has held an election... for co-presidents.
Yes.
And at the end of PNP ball, they announced the winner.
Mm-hmm.
And we
winners.
Yeah. And tonight, we are the first media to let the world know that the new emperor for the next reign is none other than Mr. Christopher Prado, and he's right here in our studio.
Yay!
Welcome, Your Majesty. You have to get used to that, people calling you Your Majesty.
Okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's so nice that 90.1 is the first media to get this exclusive. Fox doesn't even have it yet.
No, and they want it. Bad.
See, exactly.
But, you know, the hell with them. We got it first.
So I made a date with you last month, and I said I'd be here win or lose.
That's right. And you won. And it's quite nerve-wracking because you have to wait the entire evening through all of these numbers and awards and blah, blah, blah.
I think there was probably about 25 numbers, and I was the last number.
Yes, you're very last number. And then... they take you and take you upstairs and sequester you away while the board looks at the results, and then somewhat the emperor and the empress, the present emperor and empress, and the dean of the college.
The dean of the college, it was the current reigning monarchs that are about to step down in 2 months, mm-hmm. Jeff and Rose, as well as the dean of the College of Monarchs, Gerald McNeil, all three came up.
And what did they do? Tell me, because we didn't hear.
I actually was in a separate room because there was an air-conditioned vent that I was being... the air was cooling me down.
They all walked in
and they said, "Where's Christopher?" I said, "I'm over here by the air. I'm smart. I'm by the air." And Rose walked into the room and said, "Your Majesty, please come with me." And
whoa! Did you lose it?
Yes, I did. And then Jeff walked around after I was assuming after he walked up to Carrie mm-hmm. and shared the news that Carrie didn't win, mm-hmm. he walked around and congratulated me, and of course I lost it even more. And then they immediately pulled me downstairs, mm-hmm. the two of them together. Downstairs, down those nasty, ugly, dark stairs.
Yeah, that
and I literally almost missed a step, and I was like, oh, no, can't no. happen. Pulled me up to the front.
Not in a new pink plaid suit.
Yes, and your reaction when you saw it was like,
I love it.
What?
Oh, I know.
I covet.
It's going to be a year of pink.
I covet that suit.
It's going to be a year of pink.
Pink and platinum.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And for your counterparts, because the Emperor and the Empress are the co-presidents of the organization.
We have several this year.
Yes, I was surprised to see that decision.
Trifecta.
Triumphant.
Yeah. As they
Triumphant
call themselves.
Is what they're called.
As they call themselves, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Or the wicked stepsisters.
Yeah, the wicked ugly stepsisters.
It there depends on what night or what's going on. Yeah. It could be either or.
And there you go. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Yes, there was three individuals that have played the game once before, that have all been there once before and had their own little crown, and decided that when it came time that we didn't have the Empress elected, they all said yes. So we do have three regent empresses. I do have three wives this year, mm-hmm. which are Regina Dane, Celestial Empress 1, now regent empress with me this year. Chanel Cartier, Empress, Gemini Empress 1, mm-hmm. regent empress with me, as well as Gingivitis, Gemini Empress 2, now regent empress with me. So, yes, it's a big mouthful because there's three of them and one of me the next year.
It takes three.
That's what I said. It takes three to calm him down. Oh, no.
No, actually, that's when you think about it, that's very good strategy mm-hmm. because asking someone to step in when they hadn't prepared themselves to take on that role, because it takes over your life for a whole year, is pretty treacherous.
Yes.
So having the three of them, they can kind of spread out the torture.
Yes, as they sat at the bar tonight when we left In-N-Out, they said, okay, you got elected, where do you want us to go? Mm. Okay, let's go to Tony's. We went over there, and there the three of them were just kind of twiddling their thumbs and evil cackling and weird smiles on their faces like, what can we plan? So, yes, the three of them were already cackling and getting together. And
now, I have to ask a question, because it's probably going to come up. You are also Mr. Tony's corner pocket.
Yes, I am.
How does that affect, now that you're going to be emperor at on October the 11th.
It's right. Not actually going to affect it. It's just a matter of that I actually have done my requirements.
Okay.
As far as my Tony's Corner Pocket title, I've actually done them.
Okay.
So I still will get to play as the title holder and receive that recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And still keep fundraising. The only good thing is that I have an even bigger group behind me that we can come into Tony's and do even a whole lot more.
Yes.
Because it's a dual hat thing that we can do a whole lot more. Yes. And knowing the three empresses that I have, all three of them are really good fundraisers along
Absolutely.
With myself. So it's going to be a year that I know last year they were saying, or actually currently they were saying that they wanted a six-figure number or mm-hmm. big, huge numbers. I think if any year that we were ever going to have the numbers that we were going to double over anything that's been done, it could possibly be done with four reigning monarchs.
Oh, yes.
This coming year, because all four of us, myself included, with Chanel, Regina, and Gingivitis, all three of us are really good in fundraising. So I'm looking forward to the next coming year, and definitely next 2 months as the Apollo Emperor-elect
mm-hmm.
Going to be fun.
What do you do for the next 2 months until you're actually elected and take over?
I'm sleeping.
Well, that would be a good thing. Try your best as much as possible to sleep and get enough energy because currently, if I get the tagline correctly, I am now known as His Most Exalted Serene Highness, Imperial Crown Prince Royal, Apollo Emperor Elect, which is a big, huge mouthful
to say it
all at once. And they fit
that?
It on the name tag. Can you imagine?
Oh, my God! So, you must have to get reading glasses to see because the print must be really tiny.
It is. And so the next 2 months, basically what I do now is prepare for Jeff and Rose to step down and help them in any way that I can to help the transition go over for them to finish off the remaining 2 months as well as for me to step up. And
so it's sort of like your emperor in training for the next two months. Okay.
Well, that's a good way to say
for the next 2 months. Yeah. Basically, I'm going to watch what he's doing and watch and help him help Jeff and Rose really glide through into Wuzzyland.
Yeah.
Which we all know that when you step down, go to Wuzzyland, stay there. And the good thing is, I can honestly say, Gingivitis has done it once. Yeah. She's now back out of retirement. Mm-hmm. She's now back as a regent. Regina Dane has done it once.
Yes. She's been empress, and she's also been regent.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. And now, third time going on. As well as Sean, Chanel, Apollo Emperor, Gemini, and now Regent. So
yeah.
we have two three-timers.
So hopefully I can learn
a lot from them as well as from Jeff and Rose over the next 2 months and make everything transition really smoothly and go right into the next reign.
Well, I'll have to tell you, I've always enjoyed your fundraisers because you're very imaginative and there's always something different going on. Either in the decorations, or you have little handout things, or something. You always have something different going on in your fundraisers.
And that's actually why the number that I did tonight as my candidate presentation, my final candidate presentation tonight, is why I did what I did. It's because, the theme was a funhouse theme.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what the theme was until after I picked my song, and then I kept sitting there thinking, I said, wait a minute. My song was Dreams by Grace Slick, and of course, a friend of mine lowered the voice and made it sound like more of a boy.
Ah.
And it has the whole entire circus lions and everything in the song, so I played along with that theme. I had seven fabulous people that played along with me, which was my partner in life, Jim Crawford, Tippy, sitting right
Ta-da!
Next to me.
Yes! Oh,
Melissa Flores, Stephen Bunch, Michael, Chris, Jimmy Carper.
Ta-da!
As well as
Alton
Howard.
Yes.
The seven of us played along, and y'all formed the circus tent that...
Yeah, that was...
And, of course, technically, when I walked in the bar tonight, the original thought was the stage wasn't going to be where it was at, so I had a whole lot more room to play around with what I wanted to do.
Cramped. I don't know.
It was a lot of things going on in an itty bitty space.
Very small space. That's right. But it was fabulous. It was just.
And I do have to
colorful,
say,
colorful, and it was, it just filled the space, and it was great.
And I do have to say that several people came up to me at the end, and of course, some of the people that came up to me after I did my candidate presentation were like, "Well, I didn't get your number. What was that about?"
What?
The name of the song was Dreams.
Yeah.
And my dream was to step up as an Apollo Emperor or Emperor. And
when
they didn't catch the grasp of that.
Oh, my God, right at the end, I had no idea what you were going to do. You had this present, this box, wrapped box. And as you ended the song, you walked up, you just grabbed that box and lifted it up and walked off, and there was a crown on the pillow.
That's my dream.
Whoa.
I got it.
And not 15 minutes later.
I got best candidate presentation.
Yes.
And the catch was the people that actually came up to me and asked me what was my concept and what was the whole thing about the song, they probably would have caught on to what was going on if they would have saw it from in front.
Yeah.
If a lot of people that asked questions were on the side and didn't really see the circus tent flapping up and down and the box. They didn't see the crown. They didn't realize what was going on, and they didn't put two and two together. It was one of those things that if you really didn't see it direct on from front, you may not have caught what the whole entire meaning was. Dream was to be elected.
Sure.
And there sat the crown, and I lifted the box, and I walked off the stage.
And it just threw me for a loop because I had no idea. Again, they're like, oh, whoa. That was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrific. So, what are your plans now that you are emperor-elect?
I'm going to Disney World.
I was there in June. It was fabulous. I really need to go back.
You may not be able to go back to Disney World for another year.
For at least 2 years.
Yeah.
At least 2 years, but that's okay. There's time in between some here and there that I have three regions. So I can say, guess what? I'll be back. Y'all take over for the weekend, or y'all take over for the week. We can do that.
And not one of them is a drama queen, now are they?
I didn't say that.
I did. Jim Crawford.
Well, you know, we're dealing with an organization that puts on shows.
Numerous. So,
people who are in this organization like to be on stage, for the most part. I don't, but, you know, there are background mm-hmm. people. But people who like to be on stage, so there's a little bit of ego there.
Yes.
It's sort of like being a host of this radio show.
Uh-huh.
You know, all these producers here have a little bit of ego, and so it's there's drama. It comes with the territory, but the whole idea is making money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for $1 at a time.
That's right,
for the charities.
And, for the charities,
and it's going to be a fun little meeting for the four of us. We're all going to get together sometime this week to start talking about all that.
That's pretty exciting because since you are the elected emperor, is it your decision only?
Well, I can't honestly say that it's going to be only mine.
You were the only one elected.
I was the only one elected, and I can honestly say I'm sure I'm going to be helped mm-hmm. with the three of them. They're going to be able to say, this is where we're thinking about, this is what I'm thinking about, this is what we're thinking about. And it...
Mm-hmm.
I would have to actually say, I don't really know the correct answer, because at this point... I could honestly say yes, because I was elected. Yes, it can be mine.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I'm going to have a lot of wonderful help behind me to help make that selection.
Yeah.
And, of course, later on during the year, I'm sure sometime, I believe it's in October, that we'll end up doing that to select the charity and name who we're going to do. And, of course, that'll all be announced in November. But it'll be a fabulous night that... The good thing is that I know that with them being the regents, they will be performing first
mm-hmm.
at an enthronement, as far as I know. And then I'm the elected one, and I get to perform.
Okay. So tell us a little bit what's going to happen on October the 11th. Let's wrap this up and just tell us, because this is the big deal.
Yes, it is.
Yes.
October the 11th is when Jeff and Rose are officially at that point where they're done.
Mm-hmm.
I guess about a month. In a month, they'll actually have a meeting and see if they get their numbers and go into October.
Mm-hmm.
And we have enthronement, a week-long of events of all kinds of things going on at the ball. Basically, what happens is the fact that we all do... Wow, that's four... that's four step-up numbers. That
yeah.
Which would be three regents and myself.
Oh, my God.
Pack a lunch.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
But 5 hours open bar for fabulous, fabulous entertainment and ending with the crowning of myself mm-hmm. as Apollo Emperor and three regents behind me. So it'll be a fabulous night that, of course, the glitz and the glamour and lots of entertainment.
And what I think is amazing is that it's being held, and it's just because of the way the schedule works out. Mm-hmm. The ball is being held on National Coming Out Day.
Yes, it is. I was amazed. And a friend of mine, when I have a friend of mine out of the state that said, well, what day is the ball if you were to get elected? And I said, October 11th. And I didn't put two and two together what's going on that day. And he said, National Coming Out Day? I said,
yeah.
Yeah. And I looked on the computer and immediately I said, yeah, that's going to be a fabulous day to step up. And of course, tonight, being announced as the Apollo Emperor elect tonight, on a full moon, what better night to have everything unannounced that I have three regents the night of a full moon? Hello? That's just going to set the theme for the next
year. Well, Christopher,
year.
I hope that we continue the evening with the monarchs.
Once a month
on the third Saturday of the month. And
you know, Jim and myself love being here with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't keep Jim away from the microphone.
Well, he's so much fun.
See?
You know, the first time he came just as to be interviewed, he just took right to it, and we have a good chemistry together.
He has that radio voice.
And that's what's important, if you have good chemistry.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And we
See?
Do.
See?
So.
Looking forward to an absolutely wonderful year. It is something that I have worked for the last 7 years, and I have been elected as Apollo Emperor of Reign 7. So mm-hmm. it's a really good thing. 7 is a good number for myself.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to this next year, and I'm looking forward to October the 11th.
Good.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Your Majesty, Christopher Prado.
Thank you.
Apollo Emperor elect of the Imperial Court of Houston, the Space City Empire.
Woohoo!
Okay, let's take a little break, and we're going to come back with Gigi.
All right.
Gigi's here.
Gigi.
Uh-huh. And I'm going to put a little something in your ear, some new music, and I'll tell you about it when we come back. In the meantime, while you're listening to this music,
yes,
you can pick up your phone and punch in 713-526-5738. Because this is Pledge Night, mm-hmm. and we're looking for your pledge of support, and I don't know that we even have one yet. One single pledge.
I'm not aware of it.
So.
Because we still have these CDs sitting here.
That's right, because we have these great CDs
exactly.
to give away for any pledge of $50 or more on plastic. And, you know, they came from the show previous to us,
mm-hmm.
so you know they're nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're
man, I love
oh,
it's
yeah.
either married, gay, or dead.
Yeah. That's right.
See, you people, come on now. Come on. Support 90.1.
713-526-5738.
Sisters. From one sister to another funky sister. It's all about transformation. It's all about change. It's one thing a woman knows about. Constant. Change is the only constant. We bleed and don't die. We sweat when it's minus 50 outside. We fight in the battles side by side. It's a sister thing. It's a WOMAN thing. And we're coming together. We're pulling ourselves together. Sisters! It's all about transformation.
Us to death, us to them. Change your mind, change your skin. Life to death, weak to strength. Thank you.
said a story that I've never shared. I was only 20 years old. He was a love affair. Soon became a humble home, wrecked with animosity. Took it to the bottle, turned around and took it out on me. And I was just a boy, a scrawny little boy, a naive, faggot little boy, too confused by love to leave, too abused by you to see that you were maniacal, certified. Me. Life has been so good to me, taught me things about the soul. Pain is just an error in thought that I'm in full control. Glad I started long ago, learning the hardest way. Now I know my power. Just a boy, shelter little boy, I let you own that little boy, might have been too young to see, but the boy you made of me, cause you were reliable, certifiable. It's comical when I'm looking back. I see you made a man out of me.
It's not too often we get to play queer blues on After Hours, and that is Man Out of Me, a live version by Levi Kreis, K-R-E-I-S, and it's from a compilation called Peace from the Porch, Volume 2. But Levi has quite a few CDs out himself, so if you like that voice, check him out, Levi, L-E-V-I, Kreis, K-R-E-I-S. And before that, it's an old song, actually. Ooh. It's an old Nona Hendrix song.
Oh.
And she is a bisexual. Yes. She was, if you know, that name, Nona Hendrix.
I've heard of it once before. Well, I've heard of it a long time ago.
Yes.
So.
She's been doing a lot of albums over the years, and she was once, I think she started out, or she, her big claim to fame is, when she got famous, was one of the backups for Marmalade.
Oh.
Yes. So that was her doing that. along with Betty, which is a lesbian group, and none other than Pam Grier.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know she was bisexual either.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So, good music. Not particularly new, but new for After Hours.
I loved it. Loved
yes.
it.
Yes. Now, I need to tell you that you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on listener sponsor, sponsored Pacifica Station, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.1 in Galveston. We're right in the middle of our summer fun drive, and we're waiting for your call of support. 713-526-5738. We need your pledge of support to let the station know that this is a viable program.
Yes, yes.
And that it should stay on the air. We want to make it to our 21st birthday. Mm-hmm. But it takes money to run this radio station. It doesn't take a lot of money, as you may think a radio station would take, because for the most part, everybody you hear on the air are volunteers.
Exactly. Wonderful volunteers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's a small core of people who run the station, keep mm-hmm. it going. They're here during the week, 8 to 5. Mm-hmm. And I say 8 to 5, but, you know, things happen at the station, and they put in a lot more hours than that.
I bet they
and
do.
They're here on weekends for specialty things, because we're always doing something here at the station. 713-526-5738. We need to let management know that this is a good program. You've been listening to it for as long as you've been listening to it, but we've been here for over 20 years.
Yes.
September will be our 21st birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I've been here for most of that. I started 6 months, when the show was 6 months old, I walked into the station.
Aww.
And never left.
Well, you know. Well, we were hanging out with the two of the so-called originals.
Were they? Yes, Lloyd Powell and Robert Kahn
yes.
tonight. They were here for the very first shows. In fact, Robert told me that they were cleaning out and they found that they had three recordings of early after-hour shows.
Wow.
One in the first month it was going,
mm-hmm.
and then one, I think one later in October of 87, and then an early 1988
wow.
show.
Wow.
So he's going to donate them back, and they'll be at GCAM.
Oh, how wonderful.
Gulf Coast Archive and Museum, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the majority of the shows on tape. At the museum.
So we're being taped as we speak.
Absolutely.
Wow.
The station archives all public affairs shows
mm-hmm.
For 4 weeks. But GCAM, Gulf Coast Archive and Museum,
mm-hmm.
Captures the show and archives. So they've been doing that for 2 years.
Wow.
So if you go to gcam.org,
mm-hmm.
I haven't done it. But you can go there and check it out and listen to some back shows if you'd like.
Of all the people who came through here, what an experience that would be.
Yeah, it's been incredible. There have been thousands of people who've been on this show.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Oh.
And one of those is sitting right here.
Oh, yes.
He's been with this. Gigi has been with this show since 93. 94, 95, 96.
I think 94.
94, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
1994.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes. And Gigi started with the bisexual segment.
Mm-hmm.
And now, because Gigi is an old timer like me, Gigi can do whatever he wants. And what's your subject for tonight, dear?
Actually, tonight, I was going to do a segment on one of my favorite topics, mm-hmm. radical ecstasy. And
okay.
Which is basically...
You always surprise me.
Oh, I know it.
Radical ecstasy.
Mm. Yes.
Wow. I want to hear about it.
I want to hear what this is.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically, it's the spiritual aspects of BDSM and where it can take you. Few people know this, but every religion ever known to man or woman has always had some small subsect that gets into some form of BDSM as a way to spiritual enlightenment.
Now, say that again. I want to make sure I understand what you just told me.
Every religion that's ever been in recorded history has always had some small subsect that gets into some form of BDSM.
Like the Christians with the flagellants?
Yeah.
In the Middle Ages?
Oh, even today. Go down to Mexico.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Carry crosses.
Walk on their knees to the church until they're bloody.
Mm-hmm. But every religion known to mankind has had some subsect. Even Native Americans have the Sundance ritual.
Mm-hmm.
Where they put wooden pegs through their chest and then hang by them.
Yes.
But every single religion. And you start thinking about BDSM, and a lot of people from the outside looking in get this kind of misperception that someone's wailing on somebody and it's, you know, this is a horrible thing. And actually, when a scene is put together, a lot goes on behind the scenes that a lot of people aren't aware of. Oftentimes...
Okay, I need to interrupt you because perhaps we mispronounced a word. The
flagellation.
Flagellation, okay.
Yeah.
Because it came out flatuation.
Yes. Oh. I was.
And I thought,
yes.
Was a bunch of people who fart?
Okay, good. I'm glad
I didn't quite that catch
it's
that.
Not flatulence. That was me. I mispronounced the word. And I don't want to confuse people here. Flagellation. Yes.
Yeah, it's when you whip yourself.
Yes.
Or with another.
G-G, not F-L-A-T. Oh, my God.
But anyway, I'd like to talk a little bit about what happened. I mean, what is radical ecstasy? And how one can get there. With BDSM, there's a lot of paradoxes. A lot of times, the person that's receiving is not in pain at all, but is actually flying very high on endorphins.
Oh, yes.
But BDSM serves many different kind of ways to transform a person. In ancient Greece, the ancient Greek theater was all about having these plays put on that were either comedies or tragedies. And the ancient Greek audience was unlike our passive modern day audience. During the tragedy, they would get down and beat on the floor, pull on their hair.
Really?
Wail.
Just get into it.
Just really get into it.
It's like a lot of people do with soap operas.
Yeah.
Yes.
Except even more so.
I mean, at the TV and yes.
They would beat on their chest. They would, you know, just really get into this.
Oh, my goodness.
And what it did was it produced a state of catharsis. It was a socially appropriate way to get work through some of the negative emotions and some of our darker side.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
And that's one of the aspects of BDSM that help make it spiritual, when you can reach this catharsis and this kind of purification of the soul or the spirit and really kind of get into this headspace and transform. I know we've had Carol Queen on the show, and she mm-hmm. talked once about sex offenders and how they're not allowed to go into peep shows.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that it should be just the opposite. They should be given a mandate to go to peep shows. You deprive somebody long enough, eventually and they bottle it all up inside, eventually the cork's going to pop off.
That makes sense.
Through catharsis, it gives us a way to uncork all that stuff we've been carrying around and really expunge it from our psyche. One of the things that, you know, I brought a book. It's called Radical Ecstasy. I didn't come up with the name. It's by Dasa Easton and Janet Hardy. And basically, they kind of go through a lot of the terms, a little bit about themselves, and then they go, radical what?
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things, they even have a section called Words Fail Us. Because we don't have a vocabulary. We don't have words that really get into the transcendent, into the spiritual, into the kind of headspace and places you can go. We don't have a vocabulary that kind of gives us a way to define what is spiritual, what is radical ecstasy, what is ecstasy in itself. You know, we just, and what few words we do have just kind of describe it. They don't really define, and they don't really give us a basis to work from. One of the things that helps to create a good scene is to really set some good boundaries and to kind of give each person safety and a space and a way to work through and achieve these kind of esoteric states of mind. One of the things that I think is really important whenever you get into BDSM, whether it's for the radical ecstasy aspects or for spiritual aspects or just to play, is that each person coming in negotiate, have safe words, have good communications, both verbal and nonverbal, and to negotiate with openness. I mean, it becomes so critical. You cannot achieve this transcendence unless there's a safe environment to get there. But part of it, too, is to, you know, in our modern world, we have trained ourselves to stay on the rational side of the mind. We don't ever get into that kind of intuitive spiritual side. Or at least not very deeply. There are some things that I've kind of come up with some guidelines for doing a scene. And basically, I think it's real important to have a time and a place to negotiate before the scene starts what's going to happen. And then kind of get into that headspace by dressing up and doing the rituals and preparing for the scene, and then doing some warm-up, light play, before you get into the intensity of it. Then you get into the intensity of the scene, and here's where I see a lot of people in the BDSM community fall short. So that after the scene's over, or at least really intense part of the scene, a lot of people just in the scene there. But I think it's really important to have that aftercare and nurturing.
It's, to me, that's an integral part of it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you need the most. If you don't get that, and you come out of your endorphin rush, then you feel abandoned.
Mm-hmm. So by, and the other thing is that the aftercare is as much for the top as for the bottom. I know that, you know, I'm a switch, so I've played top role and I've played bottom role. And as a top, some of the most powerful parts of the scene really came through in the aftercare. That connection and that exchange of power and the whole bonding really solidified during the aftercare.
Well, how do you, when you talk about aftercare, what does that all entail? I mean, to make sure that everyone is on the same plane.
Basically, for me, aftercare is helping the person down from the equipment and out of whatever they're into, like bondage stuff or outfits or whatever, holding that person. And it may be things like saying, you took that really well for me, you know, reassuring the person that they did a good job in their role. And just taking some time to, sometimes it's just done in silence, just holding and nurturing. And that's where it becomes even more powerful. All of a sudden, you're having this energy exchange again after the scene, where all this love and kind of compassion flows back and forth between the two.
Well, how do you distinguish between, you know, once you reach that certain plateau of aggression and stimulation to automatically, you know, drop into that comfort zone?
Part of that is just handled in negotiations before the scene begins, and knowing that these are the things we're going to do, and then here's the end point. This kind of marks the end of the active scene. And then after that, you go into aftercare.
So it's a mutual understanding between the people that are involved.
Yeah.
And it's a mutual thing. Have you ever, what if it's just a one-sided?
Basically, that goes back to having very good communications and negotiating between the top and the bottom what's going to happen within a scene. And if there's no negotiation or very kind of vague negotiation up front, then that's where a lot of scenes go wrong. So by taking time and negotiating and saying, these are the things, and you can even build in, you know, I've got a, one of the things I came up with was a BDSM interest evaluation. And basically it goes through all the different types of BDSM play, and you can check either like, unsure, or dislike. And by completing a interest evaluation for the bottom and sharing it with the top, they'll know what you're really into and what you really are not into. And so by completing that up front, then you can do surprise stuff and say, you know, the top can kind of decide, okay, I'm going to do a whole bunch of things, but I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do, but I'll stick to your like or maybe venture into some of the things you're unsure about if you're ready to cross those boundaries. And so it's partly just a negotiation.
Well, that's something to do as a individual to just to take that evaluation component that you just spoke about and do it on yourself, just to get an idea of the things that you as an individual like or dislike, and then prior to that we'll give you a better understanding into your own self.
Oh yeah, definitely. And I think that's one of the things I've always loved about BDSM, is that they're, you know, I've been fortunate because I've had some very good players I played with, and I think the thing that really stands out with all the, I've had a few bad experiences, and the thing I noticed was that the people that really play well are good at communicating, and true, good at being very specific about their communications and what you like, what you don't like, and being able to really negotiate a successful scene.
I think that plays a part for all interested individuals to, you know, that communication. That's that. I believe that's the key factor. I mean, you can, you know, you can do the various components, but to be able to communicate to one another or even to yourself.
Yeah, and this is not just important to BDSM, but any sexual relationship. Mm-hmm. Communication is really key.
and I mean, do you feel that's maybe a reason why people might go through the motions, because they're afraid? Or, I mean, what do you think might be the reason they don't communicate as well as one should?
I think there's a lot of things that work against us in sexual relationships. Number one is ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't given good education on sexuality. And part of that, and we're not even given, you know, a way to communicate. We're not taught a way to communicate as part of our education growing up about sexual issues. And I've seen so many times where, you know, a person will put up with what their lover wants because they feel they have to, even though it may feel unpleasant to them. But they want to please their partner, and they don't want to come off sounding like, oh, you know, if I don't do this, then that means I don't love them enough.
True.
And a lot of times it could be just having better communications and saying, you know, you're stimulating me in a little too rough or a little too lightly, or, you know, go do use this technique instead of, mm-hmm, you know, when you give me a blowjob, suck harder. In fact, one of the exercises I have people do that are having problems, because I do some counseling with a lot of people,
mm-hmm,
and one of the exercises I have couples do that are having problems with being able to please each other,
mm-hmm,
is I have them first put on a masturbation show for each other, showing the other partner how you like to stimulate yourself. And then I have them take their partner's hand and masturbate themselves with their partner's hand. And then that way the partner can learn, oh, this is how my partner likes to get off.
Mm-hmm.
What oftentimes happens is that a person thinks, oh, I get off this way, my partner should like this.
Right.
And a lot of times they don't.
Oh, exactly.
We're all wired a little differently.
Oh, I agree.
So by taking the time and communicating, and sometimes communication's nonverbal. It can be a show and tell.
Yes.
Let me show you how I like it. And then having your partner show you how they like it,
mm-hmm,
can really open up some doors to good sex.
And, you know, we're always, you know, up for good sex.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I've got to jump in here and remind folks that this is Pledge Night. And the number to call, 713-526-5738. After Hours has been on the air for over 20 years. We're nearing our 21st birthday. And you know you tune in every week to see what those crazy guys are doing on the radio. Because we bring so many aspects of the GLBT community to the airwaves. The teen group is on the first Saturday of the month. And right now, the bisexual segment is on hiatus because of work commitments to the hosts. And they are so upset over that that they are actively seeking other jobs so that they can come back on the air.
Oh, how wonderful is that?
Because it's important to them.
Exactly.
And to bring news and information about the bisexual community to the Houston audience. We have a leather segment where we bring all aspects of the leather community, from NLA to contest holders and you name it. And Robert Tichy is just wonderful at talking about techniques and safe, sane, and consensual, which is an integral part of the leather community. So you get that on the second Saturday. The third Saturday, we didn't have it this evening, but it's normally the Black on Black segment. And Gigi, like I said, Gigi has been around here. We're talking about Gigi doing whatever Gigi wants, and that means talking about what you're talking about, sex and spirituality and the radical fairies and what people call the fringe group of the GLBT community.
And bisexuality.
And yes, of course, and paganism and you name it. You know, it's, and when you're talking about a fringe of a fringe group, so
we know what I mean.
You don't hear this
exactly.
You do not hear this anywhere else, and you don't get this information
exactly.
And it's hard to find.
It really is. And Gigi was bringing up a very, very good point throughout her segment. And as I'm looking right behind you, as long as I can communicate, you know, all of these people who come on are communicating.
Yes,
trying to teach. Trying to, you know, instill upon them, you know, that what we do may be different, but yet we are still individuals.
Sure.
And I'd like to jump in here and say, you know, I know that when I was a teenager, I didn't have any way to learn this information.
No, it wasn't.
And I was so in the dark. And it was like I had these feelings and, you know, where could I go to learn more? And it was like, it wasn't out there. It wasn't in books. It wasn't, you know, the only place I had was gay bars. And back then, you didn't get, sometimes the education you got wasn't very good.
That's right. That's right. They weren't as together as they are today.
Yeah.
You know, so we're bringing all of this to you every week, all these segments every month. And the people put a lot of work into into bringing, you know, guests and new ideas to After Hours. So we deserve your support.
Yes.
We really do. And to show that, pick up that phone and punch in 713-526-5738.
I think that's part of why I do this show, is because I want to reach to kindred spirits and let them know there is information out there for those lusty feelings we get.
And speaking of lusty feelings, for your $50 pledge on plastic, we've got CDs to send you with lusty music by Casey Jones. And she is a member of the Sweet Potato Queens. One of the CDs is a big ass box of music and just song titles like Never Wear Panties to a Party and Show Up Naked, Bring Beer, and Here's Looking at You Naked. So, you know, fun music. That's something else that you get on After Hours that you don't find in very many places. We do our best to play artists from the queer community, because they don't get airplay a lot.
No, they don't.
You know, J.D. Doyle does a wonderful job on Queer Voices, which is heard every Monday night from 9 into 11.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, they had a time change in there. But that's the only other way you're going to hear queer music. And, to tell you the truth, there's more queer programming on KPFT than any other Pacifica station.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about stations in New York and San Francisco and L.A. and Washington, D.C. So the Houston audience is very lucky
yes.
to have this. And mm-hmm. to keep it, we need to support it. And that takes your money to run the station. And, you know...
And make it, you know,
yeah.
prosper. I mean, and grow and bring the wonderful people that come on
and
here.
We like to know... I mean, we don't like to have to come and beg for your money. But it takes every show pulling their weight.
Exactly.
To pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
713-526-5738. Robert is waiting at the phone, wants to talk to you. If you're close by, stop by at 747.
Where are we?
419 Lovett Boulevard. Robert will make you a cup of coffee.
Oh, that's nice.
There you go.
Yeah.
If not, then give him a call. It takes 90.1 seconds to fill out the form.
Oh, well, that was really intelligent. I like that.
713-526-5738. 713-JAM-KPFT. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a piece of music and come back and hear more from Gigi.
Ah, yes.
Does that work for you, honey?
Uh-huh.
Okay, here we go. I've got... I'm going to start slow. I've got a classic by K.D. Lang.
Mm.
This is back from 1992.
Wow.
And when this album first came out, I played this song on the air because it's just so beautiful.
Oh, yes, so yes, we swim through my veins, drown me in your rain. My desire carries no shame. Wash, wash.
taller I become. The farther you take my rights away, the faster I will run. You can deny me, you can decide to turn your face away.
Something inside so strong, I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong, you thought that my pride was gone. Oh no,
oh no,
there's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Something inside so strong.
The more you refuse to hear my voice, the louder I will sing.
I will sing.
The more you refuse the things I need, the more I want everything.
Everything.
Deny my place in time you squander. Well, that's mine.
My life will shine
so brightly it will blind you.
Blind you. There's something inside so strong. Oh, I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong, you thought that my pride was gone.
Oh no.
Oh no. There's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong. Something inside so strong.
Oh. Brothers and sisters, when they insist we're just not good enough,
not good enough.
What do we do then? We'll look them in the eyes and say, we're gonna do it anyway.
Say.
We're gonna do it anyway.
Say.
We're gonna do it anyway.
Say.
We're gonna do it anyway.
Something inside so strong.
Oh,
I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong, you thought that my pride was gone.
Oh no,
oh no, there's something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Oh no, something inside so strong.
Something inside so strong.
Something inside.
Something.
Something so strong. It's so.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Strong.
The Flirtations with Something Inside So Strong. Another oldie that we have been playing since 1990. Wow. That is, ooh, wow. That I never get tired of that song. It always kind of picks me up, perks me up, and gives me new hope. Before that, Katie Lang with Wash Me Clean. Just an absolutely gorgeous, lush song. On her album Ingenue, which came out after all of her cowboy stuff. She started out as a country singer.
Uh-huh.
And then she came out with this Ingenue, and people were going, say what? they you know, it took them a while to get used to it, but it became a classic. We're talking with Gigi, and we're talking about, what is your subject? Oh, before,
radical ecstasy.
Radical ecstasy. Before I say that.
The bear.
Yes. Yes. I had it behind me. The new emperor-elect of ICOH, Christopher Prado, gave me this bear tonight.
Ah.
He and I both like the color pink.
Oh, yes.
And this is a bright pink bear.
Oh, yes.
With a ribbon with musical notes.
I think I need sunglasses.
And a musical note on his foot.
Ah.
Which I really liked because it kind of reminded me of all the queer music that we play here on After Hours.
Mm-hmm.
And all the years before computers that I had to hunt and search and try to find it.
Oh, yeah.
With the advent of computers, it made it a whole lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
But in those early days, it was really tough finding queer artists.
Oh, yeah.
We just didn't have that networking that the computer has been able to give us. Speaking of computers, if you don't want to call us at 713-526-5738 with your pledge of support, you can do that by going to the KPFT website and doing it on PayPal.
Yeah.
You can pledge it to After Hours, which we hope you would do. But we would really like you to give us a call, 713-526-5738. We have fabulous gifts to give you, depending on the amount of your pledge. A special one from the Hot and Bothered show, which comes before us, is music by Casey Jones. And I have two albums by Michael Snow also. For your $50 pledge on plastic, that'll be yours. I think if you up it to $60, you get a T-shirt.
Oh wow!
So you can get a T-shirt and CD.
That's cool.
Yeah, $60, and that'll help us get to our goal.
That and I mean to keep this show going takes so much.
Oh, it does. It does.
And if you want education, alternative education, this is the place to find it.
It sure is. And not only with this show, this whole station. You're going to learn every day if you listen to KPFT. And we hope that you're having a good time tonight listening to Gigi.
Yeah.
And so let's get on with it.
Okay. I want to kind of go back to Radical Ecstasy.
Okay.
And it's a book put out by Dulce Easton and Janet Hardy.
And what form is it in? Is it essays or is it short stories? Or
no, basically it's them talking, writing to about each other and about their experiences.
Oh.
And they've been into the BDSM scene for ages and ages, and they've written several books. The bottoming book, the topping book, the...
Oh, yes.
They wrote the book, for The Ethical Slut.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one. So they've been around a while.
They have been around a while.
Okay.
And what they started, they kind of stumbled into this. Basically, they started having these experiences in some of their BDSM play, where they started flying and taking off and having out-of-body experiences and
from the
transcending experiences from BDSM play.
All the endorphin rush.
Yeah. Well, it's more than just an endorphin rush, and that's what I'm going to get into a little bit. Is how do you reach this kind of spiritual state of mind?
How do you?
There's several things. One of the things that really helps is getting a deep understanding of people exchanging power and people working together to reach higher heights. Part of it's learning about how to perform ritual. Part of it's just within the power of touch. Oftentimes, a lot of people don't realize it, but touch is critical to an infant's life. A human baby will die without human touch. So something very powerful transfers when we touch one another. When you get into erotic touch and even kind of a BDSM intense type of touching, it becomes even more powerful. And there's something that just transfers when humans touch one another. Part of it is realizing that we're all kind of built neurologically different. We have different neurological pathways to the brain. We experience things differently. None of us are exactly alike in what we like, what we dislike. We each like being touched in different ways. A big part of it is role-playing. And this is where some of the healing has come in for me, is being able to role-play some of the traumatic experiences I experienced as a kid, but coming out of the situation with a whole different perspective. My father used to be rather abusive to me physically, and I started role-playing with a boyfriend, and he played the role of my father.
Yeah.
And at first I was very scared of this. And then as we played over, and this was over a period of about 6 to 8 months, all of a sudden I realized he had given me the power that my inner child never had. The ability to say stop. The ability to have safe words.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I re-empowered that hurt child.
Because you're in control.
Because I gained the control I never had as a kid.
Yeah.
And it became very healing. And all of a sudden I was able to face my fears. And
I've heard this before.
Yeah. And all of a sudden that inner child was no longer scared and hurt. It was a healing process. That occurred, and I empowered the child within, and that's part of this power exchange. My boyfriend gave me that power,
yeah,
through this experience, which kind of touches on another subject. There's different types of learning. You can learn from books.
Oh yeah.
You can learn academic type learning. But there's also something even more powerful called experiential learning. I can sit here and tell you about these scenes I've done and fill you in on all the details, and yet it won't have the impact until you actually experience it yourself.
That is absolutely true, because I spent time, when we first started having a leather segment, I kind of read up Larry Townsend books, which is like S&M 101. And I understood the psychology, and I understood what was happening, you know, with B&D and flogging and all this kind of stuff. I knew all the things that happened in a leather play scene. But it wasn't until I went to an HPEP, and it wasn't exactly a meeting, because
Was it a play party?
Because I was the best man at Sarah De Palma's wedding.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And it took place after an HPEP meeting and then a play party afterwards. And so I stayed to witness some of the play party.
Yeah.
And I knew in my mind what happened, what went on, and but seeing the visual and the hearing and it was such an impact.
I wasn't devastated, but I was
surprised at myself that I didn't realize the full impact until I saw it.
Actually experience
what people were going through, and the pain equals pleasure, and watching women have orgasms while being whipped.
Oh, I've had orgasms being whipped.
Yeah, and at first it was a little frightening,
mm-hmm.
But then I realized that no, this is not pain for the people involved. This is pleasure.
What I like to call it is intense sensation.
Yes,
because it's not pleasure at first, or at least for me. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I build up and this energy builds within me, and then all of a sudden I transform in consciousness to the state of ecstasy.
There you go.
And it's that I love the title.
And that's what I was
book.
Watching. That's what I was watching, and I just when you're seeing it and it's right before your eyes, it's mesmerizing.
And I've gone into trances doing scenes. I've gone flying. I mean, I've had experiences where I've seen out of my third eye.
Wow.
Where I'm actually out of my body,
mm-hmm.
and I'm looking down on myself from above. Some part of me just transcends and goes out the crown chakra and
wow.
floats above the scene. And
wow.
And it can be pretty incredible. One of the things that they cover in the book is a little bit about tantric sex and the Taoist sex techniques, incorporating these into BDSM,
mm-hmm.
And also a little bit on things we don't really have names for, connecting at this kind of spiritual level. You know, I've touched on this in many shows.
Yes, you have.
When what is that magic that occurs when we're attracted to that one person out of a crowd?
Mm-hmm.
And they make us wobbly in the knees.
Oh,
and
yeah.
stuck on, you know, it's like, oh, I forgot my bowels all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Become a babbling idiot. It's like, oh, I'm in love.
Oh, God, I've been there so many times. You know, some people call it chemistry. Some
yeah.
people call it lust.
Whatever it is, it's very powerful.
Yes,
and we don't have good names for it or good words to describe this process of what is actually occurring.
Yes,
a big part of this happens in a BDSM scene.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever that connection is that brings two people together, because I've had many romantic love experiences.
Oh yeah,
and then I've had some very powerful BDSM experiences. And it's kind of like comparing apples and oranges. They're very different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and I've done stuff on the show where there's different types of sexuality.
Yes.
Everything from love buddies to anonymous sex to
mm-hmm.
romantic partners to play partners to you name it.
Yeah.
And they're all different levels and different things. But when you get into this kind of state of being where all of a sudden you're transcendent, it is unlike anything I've ever experienced before. It is, and part of it is getting into the right headspace, preparing yourself.
Yeah.
And working with someone you can trust. And whether you're top or bottom, because tops can ride bottom space. I've done that
mm-hmm.
when I'm working on somebody. And not all BDSM is intensity on the kind of pain side. I've also been in scenes where it's just sensory,
mm-hmm.
very sensual. I was blindfolded.
Yeah.
And a person, my partner, used all kinds of sensory toys on me, and I didn't know what was coming next.
Oh, whether it's going to be a feather or
a
knife,
different smell.
Oh,
or a little champagne poured on my belly button
mm-hmm.
and then licked up.
Oh,
I was just lying there with a blindfold on, and all of a sudden, all these different sensations came. And when you deprive sight. And all of a sudden, it's all, you don't know what's coming next.
Wow.
And it can get very intense.
Yeah.
But without any pain whatsoever. You know, she used
things like feathers. Mm-hmm. She used a pine cone and rolled it across my leg.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what she was using till afterwards.
Wow.
But it was just all this sensory play, things she found around the house. She got a wire whisk and started tapping me all over.
Uh-huh.
I had no idea what this was. I was blindfolded. And it just, all of a sudden, all this sensory stuff just, it was this energy just built up and shot right through me. And I had one of them. Wow, what an orgasm. Several. And not just the orgasms, but I just started flying.
Yeah.
And what it does is it turns the rational brain off. Because the rational brain can't make sense of this all of a sudden. And it allows us to go into that intuitive side of ourselves. On that other part of our brain.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the rational goes, this does not compute. I'm shutting down. And then all of a sudden the other side can come out and play. And so often the rational side keeps the intuitive side shut down.
Gotcha. Yeah, it does.
And so all of a sudden we block ourselves from being able to experience. And so that's part of what radical ecstasy is about, is getting rid of the blocks that the rational brain puts on us.
Mm-hmm.
And it's saying, okay, let's make it not compute for a little while intentionally and see where it takes us. And it's amazing what can open up.
But it is.
And it's, like I say, it's, I can sit here and talk about it, but until you experience this, it's like you have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah.
Because you've always been, you know, in our society, we're trained to be on the rational side, rational thinking. And everything's got to have definitions and boundaries and...
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And when you tear those walls down and open up your mind to a whole new level of thinking, it's like, whoa. And that's where part of the power of role-playing comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and some of the stuff that you get into, that I've gotten into in BDSM sounds really bad, like... humiliation play.
Mm-hmm.
and being a boy toy sex slave.
Mm-hmm.
And doing whatever my partner asked me to do.
I see.
And then being punished for it and getting into all this head trip stuff.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the rational brain just goes, okay.
Because it can't deal with it.
Can't deal with it.
So, yeah.
And all of a sudden the intuitive side guides me through and takes me flying.
That's pretty incredible.
And that's what radical ecstasy, I think, is at the heart of it. It's being able to turn off the rational brain and let the inner child play.
Mm.
And you look at little children.
Could only do that so easily. Yes.
You look at children. They can so easily slip into this intuitive side. Because they hadn't gotten all the...
They don't have the societal
conditioning.
That's exactly it.
And so all of a sudden, this whole new door and world opens up. And I love the title of this book. It transforms us into this state of radical ecstasy.
And you're listening to all of this right here on After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on KPFT Houston 90.1 FM. I'm Jimmy Garber talking to Gigi. Mm-hmm. Gigi Raven Wilbur. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been married now?
Oh, goodness. Long time. At least almost as long as I've been doing the show.
Yeah. It was soon after. It was like the mid-90s.
Well, we've been going together ever since I've started doing the show.
Yeah. Well, probably... A good 10 years or more.
Yeah.
Wow.
And now we're coming close to paying off our house, and that's been 15 years.
Oh, my goodness. Has it been that long?
Yeah, over 15 years.
Wow.
Because we were together.
That's right, because I met you a long time before.
When I was in that apartment?
Yeah.
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 So that's 17 years ago.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
And, you know, it's... I've talked about relationship models on the mm-hmm. show, and Jay and I have a very open relationship.
You do. You do. It's extremely close. You are totally devoted to each other.
Oh, yeah.
But
we give each other space, though.
Yeah.
And
because you're both bisexual.
Yeah, we're both bisexual. Mm-hmm. But even more so, we both realize that Jay's not real big on the BDSM thing.
Okay.
She'll dabble in it a little bit with me, just because I'm interested. She has. And it's fun, but, you know, I know that that's not really her big thing.
Okay.
She's got things she's very much into that I'm not.
Ah, okay.
And so giving each other freedom to grow and experience life fully has really been a plus to our relationship. I've seen so many couples that they have to do everything together, that they smother each other.
Yep. That's a big problem. That is a big problem. But
and
each
partner has to cut so much of their own interests in life out of their lives.
Yeah, and that's not right either.
No.
It's self-repression.
And me and Jay have talked about this. I think one of the biggies that a lot of couples have problems with is they cheat.
Mm-hmm.
And when you become very open and communicate and let your partner know, hey, I'm going to be sleeping with my boyfriend tonight.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to be sleeping with my girlfriend tonight. All of a sudden, it's not cheating.
That's right.
It's not being dishonest. It's not a betrayal.
The jealousy part comes up because, that person feels
betrayed,
doesn't feel secure in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk it out and say, okay, you know, my heart belongs to you, but I want to spread my body around a little.
Yeah. Well, not just body, but different experiences.
Yeah.
It's like, there's, from time to time, I love anonymous sex.
Yes.
Just raunchy, good sex with no emotional, no attachments.
Yep.
Just
NSA.
Get it in, get it off.
NSA sex, no strings attached.
And that's a whole different kind of experience than very romantic, close, long-term partnered type sex.
Yeah.
And I have a need for all different types of sex. Of course, you know me. I'm
oh, yeah.
I was born with a hard
on. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. Okay, we're going to need to wrap up this segment and get into roundtable stuff.
But for really in-depth, for those that are interested, get this book, Radical Ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really do a good job of explaining and discussing how to really open that doorway within oneself to reach that state. I've said this in past After Hours shows. In the ancient Greek culture, there's a food of the gods called ambrosia.
Yes.
And it was said to produce a state of ecstasy when humans ate it.
Yeah.
And it made them godlike or goddess-like.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think this reaching that higher state of consciousness of ecstasy is part of what brings the god-goddess aspect out within ourselves. All of a sudden, we become the god-goddess by reaching that higher conscious level.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the mundane world, it's like... But when you reach those heights...
Sure.
And it feels so good.
And it feels so good. Okay. Well, Gigi, thank you for being here. And you always amaze me at what you're going to do and talk about.
Yeah.
And it's always a learning experience. Always. I always learn something. Oh, and we have a couple of pledges.
Ah,
yes,
good.
We do. From Robert and Paul. Wow. Wow.
Owen. Jimmy.
Oh, my goodness.
I brought one of your favorite photographs of me.
I love that photograph. I love that photograph. Explain it to the audience. because you copy a statue.
Oh, yes. Once, when I was in art class, I came across a photograph of Donatello's sculpture of David.
Yeah. And it's not the Michelangelo.
No, not the Michelangelo. It's done in bronze, very sensual.
Mm-hmm. And he's holding a sword.
He's holding a sword. He has this very femme hat on.
Yes.
And it's got a... And he's standing on Goliath's helmet. And the feather on Goliath's helmet is going up to his rear end.
Yeah.
Tickling him.
Yes. It's a bizarre.
It is. Yes. So anyway, I did a photograph of myself with a heart on.
Yes.
And Donatello's David. He's soft.
Yeah.
But in this, I had a sword. I didn't have a helmet and a feather long enough.
Oh, well.
But the rest of it's there. And he's holding a stone in his hand, in one hand, and a sword in the other. So I did a photograph of myself.
I love that. Okay, I want to thank Paul, who comes through every fund drive for us.
Ah, good.
And Robert, who put us at or over the goal.
I forget
what the goal is exactly. But we still need to hear from you. And all you have to do is give us a call at 713-526-5738. Because it's Fun Drive, we can't take calls. We're not taking calls this week.
Yeah.
On the air. So, but we sure would like your pledge of support. And we have lovely parting gifts for you, if you so desire. 713-526-5738. We're going to go to a piece of music and come back with some kind of roundtable stuff or just see what the guys want to talk about.
Yeah.
Okay?
And if there's nothing else they want to talk about, we'll continue on some radical ecstasy stuff.
There we go.
Going.
Filthy Gorgeous by Scissor Sisters. And before that, one of my old-time favorites from Veronica Klaus, a transgendered artist, Blind Hearts and Knowing Glances. That's from her CD, All I Want. And that's been out quite a while, too. Doesn't have a date on it. Damn. Okay. But you can go to VeronicaKlaus.com. KLAUS. Okay, it's kind of roundtable time. I'm going to start with some funny stuff.
Okay, what do you got?
Funny stuff. Here we go. Let's get the guys in the talk studio going. Who have we got in there tonight?
Okay, we need to get everybody else in here.
I think that may be...
Or is this it?
This may be it.
I don't know.
Go steal their dice.
Yeah, go steal their dice back there, please.
Everybody else is busy back there.
They're getting their geek on.
Okay.
Give me the plug this in.
Who have we got in the studio tonight?
Stick it in. You realize your mic is live version?
Yeah. Yes.
No, I was talking about the
I'm sure freezing. You were.
The headphones?
Yeah.
yes, plug them
in. Of course
in.
I have to be dirty about it.
Yeah. So who have we got in the studio?
We have Grant.
Hey, Grant.
Hey, what's up?
And he's single, everybody.
Yes,
okay.
He is.
And I do
but
have
we're not
his email
calling
everything.
In because he's single, okay?
No, we're calling in to for pledges of support.
Oh,
yes,
I know. But
any pledges.
Okay, if y'all don't support money, Virgin takes his shirt off.
Hey, Jimmy likes it. Jimmy likes it when I take my shirt off.
Oh, yeah.
For those of us that don't want to get blind.
Oh.
Oh, don't play.
Okay.
And of course, Gigi's here.
Oh, yeah.
Something else off.
And Jose.
Gigi will take his skirt
Jimmy.
Off.
Hi,
Jose.
Okay, here are some fine and unintentional double entendres that were aired on British TV and radio.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Pat Glenn, a weightlifting commentator, said, and this is Gregoravia from Bulgaria. I saw her snatch this morning, and it was amazing.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, she's a weightlifter. Okay. And a New Zealand rugby commentator, Andrew loves it when Daryl comes inside of him. Well.
Wow.
Ted, well, I do, too, but
Ted Walsh, a horse racing commentator, this is a really lovely horse. I once rode her mother.
Oh, my goodness.
Harry Carpenter at the Oxford-Cambridge boat race in 1977 says, ah, isn't that nice? The wife of the Cambridge president is kissing the cocks of the Oxford crew. That's C-O-X.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Goodness. Yeah, I knew that's what you meant. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Those are funny. The sexual innuendo is this.
A U.S. PGA commentator said, one of the reasons Arnie is playing so well is that before each tee shot, his wife takes out his balls and kisses them. Oh, my God. What did I just say?
My.
Oh, yes. I like that, too.
A female news anchor who, the day after it was supposed to have snowed and didn't, turned to the weatherman and asked, where's so, that? Bob, where's that 8 inches you promised me last night?
I heard
wow.
that before.
Oh, yeah. That's cute. I like yes. that one. Where's my 8 inches?
Oh, my. Okay. Claire Frisbee, talking about a jumbo hot dog on Look North, says, there's nothing like a big hot sausage inside you on a cold night like this.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Okay, just something to get you in the mood for what's to come.
Oh, my God, that's funny. Deal I love that.
Jose is
those were good. I love them.
Frantically checking out the
internet.
Yes, he is. I have watched. Have you watched? Anybody watched any of the Olympics?
Yes,
I have.
Michael Phelps has won. Like,
are we?
Seven
are
already?
We just in love with Michael Phelps,
oh, yeah,
or what?
Yeah, he's won at least seven already.
And what a nice guy.
I wouldn't
dude.
Mind if he swam for my team.
I know it. I know it.
Actually, just a newsflash here. He has won.
He's
old again. He's up to eight now.
Up to eight. Okay.
He broke what's
he
his
broke
record?
Mark Spitz's
yeah.
record.
Yep.
And I can tell you from experience, the 70s, probably the most recognizable poster of the entire 70s was Mark Spitz with his seven gold medals across
I think
his chest.
Female, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everybody's had a copy of it or knew somebody who had a copy of it.
I'm surprised they didn't say Farrah Fawcett with her hair.
And now Mark Spitz is...
The records have been shattered.
Got gray hair and has grown children.
Raider.
Whoa. So we have a new Spitz now.
Yay.
Michael Phelps.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And he's cute,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've also been reading about the amount of, this, and this is kind of new, especially for the Olympics, the amount of out athletes who are participating. There's at least a dozen of them from different countries.
Really?
Yes. Huh? Out of the closet.
And Mr. Phelps is not among them.
No, Phelps is not among them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
He can be converted.
Oh.
Yeah, why don't we get Jimmy to do it.
Yeah, they showed his dimensions that they're not on TV, and I'm like,
I beg your pardon.
They gave his dimensions as far as his height.
Oh. Stats.
His stats. And I could pretty much draw from all those stats that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's packed.
Big hands, you do the math.
He's packed.
Size 14.
I don't know.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so, Jose, what have you got?
Let's see. We've got murder. We've got...
Ooh, that's
suspense.
Always nice.
Let's see, what do we got here? Well, of course, we expect Fox to make a mockery of everything that's not conservative.
Oh, yes.
Let's see. I think I'll close that one out. No, I'm kidding. Let's see. So, got murder. We have...
Murder.
Let's go to Panama.
Okay.
This is, Panama has turned over its law criminalizing gay sex, basically. This comes from the San Francisco Bay Times. Says here, Panamanian President Martin Torrijos Espino signed a decree repealing a 1949 law that criminalized sodomy under penalty of $500 or jail time. The move followed protests by the gay group New Men and Women of Panama and other human rights defenders. Local media said the decree issued by Ministry of Health and also signed by Health Minister Rosario Turner said that the ban was at odds with the Panamanian Constitution and international human rights treaties Panama signed. Also said the law conflicted with the Health Ministry's policy to maintain respect for the sexual preferences of each person without the existence or any type of discrimination in the operation of its sexually transmitted diseases programs. Now, other Caribbean nations still have they still have laws in place that ban gay sex, but I don't know if this is going to cause a domino effect or not, though.
Mm-hmm. Remains to be seen.
Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. I didn't really pay attention. I'm sorry.
Virgin, get your hand into that boy's hand. Jesus. I know he's single, but good Lord. He's single, not desperate, okay?
That's true.
What are you boys doing in there?
No, I was reading the list of the shows. And
The Ejacula and Groove and
oh, yeah.
Broken Beats
yeah, I was
and all that good stuff.
Great shows,
yeah,
overnight shows.
Yeah, yeah.
KPFT Radio has a wonderful lineup of overnight shows Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday, too, obviously, because you're listening.
So So this should be interesting to see if these other countries repeal theirs.
Yeah.
Or if they keep them in place. And we're talking about places flying.
Well, you know, Mexico, and not the whole country, but the Parts area of Mexico City has decriminalized homosexuality. And that's a big step for a country like Mexico that has the macho...
Well, the thing, too, is that you have to also look deeper at the religious culture.
That's right.
Especially, I mean, a country like Spain, which is legalized gay marriage.
They just went... they did a total 180.
Yeah.
You know, because under their old regimes, everything was so repressed.
Yeah.
And once Franco died... And they had absolutely, you know, they went democratic and had their personal freedoms.
Yeah,
they
he's
just,
still dead.
Yeah, he's still dead. They just did 180 and decriminalized everything and made everything legal.
Ooh,
and I'm sure the church was outraged, but the people like are over that.
They'll get over it.
And it's sort of like the California law.
Yeah.
That is legalized marriage. And what's so amazing about that change is not that it decriminalized homosexuals. It made them equal to straights. So it wasn't a matter of giving a new right to gay people. It made gay people equal to straights.
Yeah.
And so that's why they were given the right to marry. So that, just that little nuance makes all the difference in the world, because now there's no difference between gay and straight as far as relationships are concerned in California. And that is the amazing thing. That's even more than what Massachusetts did.
Yeah. You know, it's one thing to legalize gay marriage, but to actually decriminalize the...
Yes, and to equate gay and straight as equal. That is something that I never thought I'd see in my lifetime. It's even better than having the gay marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the domino effect I want to see in every state of the union. It's
going to take time.
It's going to take a lot of time.
I mean, really, it was kind of a wedge issue that was brought up, not by the Democrats, but the Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been kind of a wedge issue ever since, what was it, Texas, the sodomy case here in Texas.
Lawrence versus Texas
was overturned.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought, well, what's next, gay marriage? Really, no one in the gay community said, yeah, sure, gay marriage.
No, we weren't prepared for that at all. It was kind of thrust on us. And so we picked it up and ran with it.
You would think us here in the community would be used to having things thrust on us.
Yeah, no.
But, you know, Jimmy enjoys it, though.
I do.
Especially at Louie.
I've been a gay activist for a very long time, so... You know, I've seen the ACT UP days, and it's just incredible the changes that have happened in just the last 20 years alone.
Something kind of related to that.
Yeah.
This is America's Next Top Model, of course, you know, they have where they do a search for the next top model.
Yes.
One of the contestants is transgender.
Hey, hey, hey.
Oh, wasn't that last season or something?
For real?
Let's see...
I don't think
so. Didn't say anything. It's, but Fox, you know, in their infinite wisdom, oh God, don't get me started on these guys.
What did they do?
It says here that they were mocking the Next Top Model transgender contestant.
They're just jealous.
ISIS.
ISIS is her name. GLAAD has called the network to apologize for remarks made by host Greg Jarrett on his weekly editor-at-large, Ian Drew, who spent a segment making disgusting remarks about the model.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Oh, God. Here we go.
I see. While laughing and joking.
See, while laughing and joking, Jarrett mocked Isis' description of herself as a woman whose cards were dealt differently, which is true.
Absolutely.
And said, that's an understatement. Drew referred to recent instances of transgender visibility on reality television as the Crying Game 08.
Ew. Ooh.
Yeah. Going on to call the show an America's Next Top Tranny. Honey, that's on Logo. I'm sorry. That's not on...
Well, on Janice Dickens, the modeling agency, there was a transgender person.
Yeah.
There really was. I remember seeing that episode.
Drew went on to say that she doesn't look any different from other contestants because they're not exactly the most high-class group of women.
Ouch.
Oh, I see what it is. So if he didn't pick them up in the back pages of the newspaper like he does his women, they're not high class. I get it. Throughout the segment, Jarrett switched back and forth between male and female pronouns, and both Jarrett and Drew suggested that Isis fooled people by blending in. They went on to make crude remarks about her genitalia and the pitch of her voice. Good Lord.
Yeah, I wonder.
That's a giant step backwards if ever there, was one.
Well.
Ugh. You know, I wonder,
what's
you know.
Name? Yes.
I was wondering if she didn't say anything until, like, she won or until she kicked off, you know, then, you know, it's like, there she is.
Yeah.
She's open and she's proud. What the hell's wrong with that, you know?
It's nobody's business anyway.
Yeah, it's nobody's business,
does it matter?
You know?
It's not.
It doesn't matter. It's,
life,
it's,
so
it's how the clothes fit you and how you present them and
yes.
your walk and, you know, all the model things that are important.
It doesn't matter if, you know, she used to be a man or used to be a woman, whatever. If she's got the look,
yeah.
if she's got what they're looking for, then there shouldn't be any issue over whether or not she's transgender.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. No. What yeah. is the guy? What was that guy's name again who was making those comments?
Says here, this is Greg Jarrett,
Greg?
U.S. Weekly Editor-at-Large, Ian Drew.
I never even heard of him before.
No.
Okay. So Greg and Ian.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Greg and Ian. So they're just, you know what, you know what? They're just mad because they couldn't fit in Isis's dress.
Probably.
Well, see what it is? They're probably mad because they hooked it up with Isis better. And didn't realize she was transgender until the show came on the air.
Well, there's.
I mean,
there's
come on. We've had a history lately of the conservatives, quote unquote, getting caught with their hand in the honey jar.
Yeah.
How true.
So true.
Ted Haggard.
Let's see. Who was the other one? Oh, yeah. That Senator Craig. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Tapping his foot in the bathroom.
He didn't have any idea that he was doing anything. Please.
If yeah. you heard. Yeah. Did you. Okay. Who actually heard the little interview, the actual interview that the police officer did with him? That was funny. That thing was funny.
And my favorite is he's standing up there in his most queenie voice saying, I'm not gay.
I'm not gay.
Okay, Mary, you're not gay.
Yeah, I know.
Right?
He's a friend of Dorothy.
Are you a good witch or a bad witch?
Now, that's the question.
He's a friend of Dorothy.
I have a follow-up on something we've been covering here lately, Jimmy.
Yes.
The Lawrence King murder.
Oh, yes.
Out in California.
Oh, the kid. Oh, yeah, I remember that one, yeah.
The family of murdered teen Lawrence King has filed claims against their son's school, which placed much of the blame for his death on the school's dress code.
Well.
Okay. No capende.
I know, I lost on that one. Why? Say that one more time.
Okay. The boy went to school dressed in girl's clothing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a huge crush on this boy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think.
And the boy shot him and
yeah.
killed him at school.
Uh-huh.
What
this
the
is
hell?
In
Cal-
this is
gun
in
the
SoCal.
Place.
Okay, now that's question number one.
Yeah. Why did they let him in the school with a gun in the first? Don't they have metal detectors in almost every
no,
school?
No, apparently
no,
not
no,
in this
not
school.
School.
This is California, remember.
Oh.
This is like 90210. I'm
yeah.
like, what? You know.
And claims the King say school and county staff members failed to enforce the middle school's dress code. That put the feminine dressing King at particular risk at a time when staff members knew he had a quote-unquote unique vulnerabilities and was susceptible to abuse because of his perceived sexual orientation, the claim says.
So they're blaming the school because the school didn't make him wear male clothing.
Basically, yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
But wait, if what I caught what you said, they're not, the way that they're wording it, they're saying that him being, you know, with his perceived orientation, they're not even saying who he was. So
right.
It's like, well, yeah. No, it's not. It wasn't
the game.
It's like
they're trying to kind of stay off subject.
Yes.
Or just beat around the bush about it.
If I was the parent,
I mean, it's
I'd
not
go
the
if
school's fault. There's, I don't.
If I, was
I don't parent, really see where the school is at fault here.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, they should file a civil suit with the boy's parents.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that the boy was living in a group home at the time that this happened. He wasn't living with his parents.
That don't matter.
But
the parents of
CPS
Lawrence King, they should go after somebody that.
Yeah.
So he couldn't get the weapon.
The family says that educators knew the boy was at risk because he had been subjected to death threats at his school.
Mm.
Well, he should have got help for that.
Yeah.
Really?
And he may have seeked help.
I don't know. It's kind of debatable. King had told friends he was gay and he wore makeup, jewelry, and high-heeled boots with his school uniform.
Aww.
Something Dannenberg said the teen had the freedom to do under his First Amendment rights. However, let me stop here for a minute. My understanding is that once you step out on that campus, your First Amendment rights, whatever it is, go out the window.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Because you're under the jurisdiction of that school district now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got you on a technicality there.
Mm-hmm.
Assistant Principal Joy Epstein, the only person named in the complaint, is accused of encouraging the boy to wear women's clothing, shoes, and makeup. They claim that she created an environment of perceived safety for King, when in fact she could not and did not protect Larry from the threats and his ultimate death, is what the claim says
and
here.
Who was this?
Principal at the school.
So the
principal at the school was encouraging him to do this?
That's what they're claiming.
Kind of, okay. If that's who you are, then be who you want to be.
Yeah,
or?
that's what they're claiming that the school
did.
So basically, they're trying to say that the school threw their boy to the wolves here. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'd blame the kid that shot him because it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean,
that's ignorant. I mean, there's no reason to.
It says here, the county's risk manager says he's expected to reject the claim, which, I mean, I have to agree here. According to the, what does it say here? King was awarded the court at living at the Casa Pacifica shelter for abused, neglected, and emotionally troubled children.
King was? Or
at the time of the shooting.
King or the other
the boy that King was.
Oh, King is.
Officials should have educated him at the Casa Pacifica shelter.
The King, right?
King.
Was living
where he would have been safe instead of sending him to E.O. Green, which is the school, the complaint alleges. Casa Pacifica Administrator Steve Ellison said the county had stopped offering classes on campus in the wake of federal law aimed at keeping kids in their normal neighborhood schools. Still, the agency would have tried to accommodate a student if school or county officials were concerned about his safety, is what it says here.
You know, it just sounds like people are trying to find a scapegoat.
Yeah.
Yes.
When they're not addressing the problem, exactly. The real problem of why did this boy feel it necessary to kill someone just because they were interested in him?
Yes.
Now, a footnote here, it says here that the
what's wrong with no?
Yeah.
Right. I'm not interested.
You know, if you're in the dating scene, you hear no quite a bit.
Okay.
But Jimmy takes those like, okay, yeah, let's do it anyway.
Yeah, Virgin, and you know what no means, right?
Jimmy doesn't know what no means.
Yes, I do.
Now, a footnote here says that his killer recently entered a not guilty plea. in connection with the burner and hate crime.
He had the gun. There was witnesses, right?
Damn thing went out by itself.
There was witnesses.
I'm going to pull up some of the coverage.
Where was it
here?
Done?
It was done in school. In
yes.
It was in the it was in a classroom. In the
yeah.
I thought
it was
off,
in the school.
You know,
Ken was shot by a student. You know, it is a senseless crime.
Mm-hmm. It was.
There's
it
no
was.
Common, nothing behind it.
Now,
which I'm gonna shoot you,
King was a handful. Let's face it. He was at a special school or in special living because he couldn't deal with his parents not letting him do whatever it was he wanted to do.
Okay.
And
this is kind of the flip
side. He did push the limits.
Mm-hmm. But this is the flip side of living in a group home, okay? You are allowed to do whatever
yes.
you want. However, they don't reinforce your bad behavior. Okay? If you screw up, they're going to clean up after you.
Yeah, see, that's not right either.
That's the downside of the group home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see where the school's at fault here.
Oh, you know? Of course not.
He was in a special school? Or
no, he was in a group home.
Oh, okay.
Is what it was. And so now the parents are saying it's the school's fault. It isn't the school's fault. It's the shelter's fault.
The parents of the shooter are saying that it's the school's fault?
No, the victim.
The victim's parents.
The victim's parents are saying that it's
the
school's fault.
No. No, I'm sorry.
You need to go to the person that had the gun that pulled the trigger. That's the one that killed him.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do
with
the
school. Because I'd be going after his parents, the shooter.
If it happened in a Walmart parking lot, are you going to blame Walmart?
Exactly.
Right. If it happens in Walmart, you're going to blame Walmart?
Well, I think the big problem is that the parents have been listening to lawyers.
Yeah.
And the lawyers will go after whoever has the most money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
The school
that's
has
probably
the most.
Exactly.
So that's what that's about. It's nothing. That has nothing to do with justice or anything. That just, yeah. I think that's lawyers talking the parents into it.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the best way to put it.
And that's most unfortunate. Okay. Can we go on to something
sure,
else?
Sure. Let's see.
Because if you don't find something, I'm gonna have to read The Good Wife's Guide from 1955.
Oh,
God,
no.
That's a bit outdated.
1955, just think, 50 years ago, and this is how society looked.
I have something here for you.
Okay, you have something for me?
Drag relay and 50-meter mints, highlights of gay sports day.
Yay.
The 50-meter mints, I can do that.
I bet you could, Jimmy.
The gay men's health.
Do you guys even know what a mince is?
Sounds like fun.
Sounds like something you did at Halloween.
The gay men's health.
That is whack.
The gay men's health charity, GMFA, and the Royal Vauxhall team once again host Gay Sports Day on Bank Holiday Monday, August 26th.
Is this England or Canada?
This is coming out of the UK here.
Okay.
The number of teams is limited by the local council to 20, but places are filling up fast. The teams, each with 5 members, will compete in a series of competitive events with a comical twist, such as the drag relay, the handbag throw, and the 50-meter mints. Matthew Hodson of GMFA says the great thing about the sports day is that there are events for everyone, from the lighthearted and frivolous events which you might expect at a particularly broad-minded school sports day, to the events that are a little bit more athletic. You don't have to be Ben Cohen to take a part or even to win. Although he wants to put together a team and come along, he'd be very welcome. Last year's event attracted more than 500 people who took part in non-competitive events such as a live duck day, a duck race, and a gay Punch and Judy. Oh my!
Punch
God.
And Judy are puppets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. That had to have been interesting. This year's events will be officially opened by the mayor of Lambeth, Councillor Angel Meter.
That's great.
The sports day is a lot of fun, added Hodson, but it also raises much-needed funds for JMFA, which goes toward those projects to receive that receive no statutory funding, such as work for HIV-positive gay men.
Okay. Now, where is this again in the UK?
This is in... Oh, you would say that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's probably towards the top.
Yeah. Let's see. This
the Royal Vauxhall Tavern. That's probably London.
Yeah, it probably is.
Okay.
Which, in 2012, it'll be in London. The Olympic Games.
Oh.
So, when are the Olympics coming to Houston? That's what I want to know.
Oh, don't get
probably it. Never.
That's a totally different debate for a totally different show.
Yeah, it sure is.
Oh, it is.
Sure is.
Now...
Well, Jimmy, you're going to say what a mince is?
A mince is a effeminate way of walking.
Oh, it's a way of walking.
Yes. When you see a queen walking down the street...
She's mincing.
And you know that money. You know that the guy is gay because of the way he's walking. That's a mince.
Yes.
You walk like
this is I just pulled this up from pinknews.co.uk.
Oh my god, this is Jimmy's favorite. Pink.
well,
bisexuality passed on by hyper heterosexuals.
This is
what the hell is that?
Okay,
I like this one.
Hyper
academics at the University of Padua, Italy.
I think you would be a hyper.
Claim that bisexual men have inherited their attraction to men through hyper heterosexual female family members.
Because their wives screw them to death, they become bisexual.
I guess.
Is that what that means?
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Let me see what it says here. Dr. Andrea Camperio Ciani and colleagues show that the female relatives of homosexual men tend to have more children, which they believe suggests that genes on the X chromosome are responsible.
Oh, they are so not right.
The team now believes that the same is true for bisexuality. The researchers carried out a survey of 239 men asking about their families and sexual experiences. The results showed that gay and bisexual men's female relatives on the maternal side had more children than those of straight men.
Okay.
So it does kind of go back to the old theory of the dominant woman and the...
A submissive man.
Oh, please.
That's almost
now.
That
Ciani is saying that Ciani is stressing that this does not prove the existence of a gay gene.
Ciani is full of it.
Honey, trust me, it runs in the family. Sometimes it gallops.
Oh no, I thought there was a gay gene.
Do you believe in the gay gene?
Sure, why not?
I'm not talking about the gay jeans that the boys wear, which are really girl jeans. But,
I'm just going to have to go in there and slap him.
Hey, all of us. All three.
Careful. Water all over the place.
I didn't do it this time, Robert. I didn't do it.
Yeah, he did.
He did it.
He molested me earlier.
Okay, you boys. We're the hot spots. We're the cool kids hanging out these days in Houston.
Jordan's.
Jimmy's house.
Huh?
There's still a Galleria contingent.
Okay, y'all totally went off.
Boy, he chokes on the big ones.
Starbucks.
Yes,
Starbucks at West.
Honey, what are you talking about? She chokes on the small ones too.
So where are the cool kids hanging out these days?
The mall.
Yeah, the Galleria. A hot
Starbucks
spot lately.
How about
like the Starbucks down at Westheimer and
Post Oak? Yeah,
people ride the sport hour. Bikes. And
yes.
Everything. They're all
that
there.
Is
Westheimer and Post Oak.
Yes,
24 hour.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I've been there numerous times.
Oh,
a lot of cute guys there.
How about in the Montrose? Where are the hot spots?
Yeah. Well,
High Park.
Not that hot. Not that hot, honey.
Maybe they're old and tired.
What about the new restaurant?
Which one?
Anita's?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard it's good. I haven't been there yet.
I hear it's a little...
It's pretty good.
It's good.
Oh, yeah, I hear it.
But I haven't been there when Anita's there.
Oh, she left when I was coming in. When I was pulling in over
there. She saw you pull up.
and left?
She got her car and left.
Yeah, her and some girl were going to
Riches. Because
he's
going to eat her out of business.
You know who I saw there one night?
Who?
Lillian Devereaux.
No kidding.
Yes.
Good. Good, good, good.
Yeah, she was there with her husband.
Oh,
yeah.
I found something here. This is just like...
What?
This comes from the blog.pinknews.co.uk.
Oh, my God.
Swedish men demand sex toys.
I want some sex toys.
They can't get the real thing? Is that it?
Awesome sex
Two
toys.
Swedish chaps are up in arm about Swedish state-owned pharmacy chain Apotek's new range of over-the-counter sex toys. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, this is interesting.
In Sweden, the most sexually liberated nations, sex toys are available from the pharmacy.
Wow. Oh, cool.
Which surely proves that masturbation is good for you, for your health, and most definitely won't make you go blind.
I want to go to Sweden. I want to get prescribed sex toys.
So you can buy your dildo at Walgreens.
Yeah, more or less. Anyway, the men have lodged a complaint to JMO, the Swedish Equal Opportunity Ombudsman. Why? Because the poor darlings have found nothing for boys amongst the vibrators and vagina balls on offer.
Give them a vibrator. It should work.
No fleshlights.
One of the men complained. According to the complaint, it says here, a woman with a dildo is seen as liberated, strong, and independent, while a man with a blow-up plastic vagina is viewed as disgusting and perverted.
Yeah, what's up with that?
But Apotek immediately passed the buck to sexist manufacturers.
Oh, as I understand it, there are no products of good quality on the market for men, said spokesperson Eva
Fernvall.
Yeah.
Should there be such products specifically for men, then there is nothing from stopping us from selling them.
Well, they ought to come to the States because...
Good vibes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good vibrations.
Lots of good things for men.
Uh-huh.
Wow. That's pretty clever.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I got to step back a minute to the bisexual thing.
Yes.
It seems any time they come out with a study on bisexuals, they get it so wrong.
Oh, I know it. I know
I've never seen them screw things up so bad.
Why don't they start with the assumption that all people are bisexual?
Well, I think...
And then you find out to what degree they are bisexual.
Yeah. Well, I think part of it is that bisexuality is really very... confusing for a lot of people.
And I don't know why, since most of them are.
Jose, what are you looking at over
they
there?
Just,
tell us what I'm looking at.
Oh, my God.
Pornography.
See?
Probably.
Okay.
How big is it?
So, we got a couple minutes left here.
Australian diver comes out ahead of Olympics. We only have a couple of minutes, folks.
Okay.
Call in with your pledges.
713-526-5738.
713-JMKPFT.
That's it.
Right.
Give us your money.
Plain Pack Tunes.
Did you guys hear about that student that was
lost? I mean, he's a brand new guy, I guess.
He's a student. Well,
no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh well, I wasn't going to mention the name of the school, but
yeah.
That arrived. That was found in California.
Yeah, he was hanging out at UC Berkeley.
Yeah, and they attributed it to they mentioned of his addiction, what did they say?
Sex addiction.
No, they mentioned that he was a very avid follower of a online game. That could have possibly attributed to that.
Wow.
Naming the game of World of Warcraft.
Oh, don't get me started on that stupid game.
Hold on. It has a really serious gay following. I was surprised.
I know.
I've never played it. I've
okay,
seen
let me get
like
back on topic here. Since it's the Olympics, I wanted to bring up this story.
Yes.
Australian Australian diver Matthew Mitchum has come out of the closet. It says
here. Yay!
Jose.
Yeah?
Can you please quit saying um?
It's
getting on my nerves.
Just on his last nerve.
Your last gay nerve.
Yeah.
It's just too funny.
What Mitchum would like more than anything else is for his longtime partner, Lachlan, who fought the tumultuous battle of Olympic dreams with Mitchum, to be there in the stands to cheer him on. He's 20 wow. years old.
Ooh.
Okay.
And let me tell you.
And ripped.
Oh, God, he's ripped. I wouldn't mind getting ripped by him either.
Yeah.
Can you, like, turn the screen or...
Forget that. I'm going
to
walk.
Well, just hold it up to the mic here so everyone can see it.
Hold up to the mic.
Everybody can see it. That's funny.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, scroll up. Hold it. Ooh, yes, ma'am. How you doing?
Grant, we don't do that here. Because I will get us kicked off the air.
What?
I didn't know.
Because no, we don't do that on the air.
Would you quit molesting me?
No. We'll tell you when.
All right, Jimmy, we're ready to wrap this up here.
We better be.
I'll tell you when we get off there and go off in the...
The last gay diver we had was Greg Louganis, so this is kind of nice. A little touch on the Olympics here. All right, say your goodbyes. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Ciao, Bella.
Goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight.
Ow, you
stuck. Grant, say goodnight.
Goodnight, y'all.
You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, right here on good old listener-supported Pacifica Station, KPFT, Houston, 90.1 FM. Coming up is Zydeco Pasale, and they're looking for your pledge of support, too, at 713-526-5738. After Hours, we'll be back again next week, and Chris will be back with us. So right now, here we go.
Hi, I'm J.B. Adams, co-host of the Zydeco Pasale Show. If you're already a KPFT supporter, then you've already decided that the programs you listen to play an important role in connecting you to the world and that your financial support makes them good programs to listen to. Your annual support makes it possible. You continue to rely on KPFT. Help keep it on the air by renewing your support now at 713-526-5738, or you can contribute online at kpft.org. I'm J.B. Adams, co-host of the Zydeco Pasale Show.
You're listening to KPFT 90.1, Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.